What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As we head to the phone lines, our next guest, Pete Sweeney, 10-plus years covering the Chiefs, editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, also does work for the NBC affiliate in Kansas City and Sports Radio 810. Pete, somebody just texted in, Guy Jean. He said, I just looked up this Pete Sweeney dude, and he looks like John Lennon's son. Have you ever gotten that, Pete, that you look like John Lennon's son? And I wonder if he caught you, Pete,
yeah.
when you're down three buttons and that taco meat and that chest hair is showing, Pete. Like, I think you really could pass for John Lennon.
Well, it just depends. And if you catch me on karaoke night, I think that is usually when, you know, people will say that, but not really just straight from the looks. You know what I mean?
I don't think catch you on karaoke night. I don't want to catch you on karaoke. Last time, Clint, I ran into him. I met him out, and he's a fireball shot guy. This gets right in for the fireball.
Fireball's
shot.
A good one, boy.
My guy.
No, it's not.
It's hard one to quit.
No, I don't understand why he felt like that was something I wanted.
I know that people are talking about you and Clint, and I want to start off by saying it's good to be on with Clint, first of all, and then Mr. Nasty, you know, as we call you in Kansas City. I mean, you get a few in you, you know, you turn into Mr. Nasty, and we got to be careful around that.
We're not trying to bring that out now. Mr. Nasty had to retire now, man. I got three out here.
He makes an appearance every once in a while. He does make an appearance.
I got three out here, man. I already got enough nicknames as it is. All right, Pete, man, there's some news today. And I think it impacts maybe the biggest part of this game, and that is it has been decided that Joe Tooney is going to be the left tackle. He's been the left tackle in the last three games that's mattered, and the Chiefs seem to have played better on the offensive line. Was there ever any realistic thought that it wouldn't be him, and how does this kind of change things for the Chiefs?
I think the Chiefs would have ideally liked to have DJ Humphreys be that guy. He got here, I believe it was early December, and right away he suffers the hamstring injury, and that caused him to come out of the lineup. And so he really lost that month, which would have been a proving ground to showcase, okay, he's good off the ACL that he suffered when he was still a member of the Arizona Cardinals, and settled in would have been next to Joe Tooney at the left guard position. And, you know, it would have been a situation where the Chiefs really felt like they had their best line. What happened was when he exits and he has to miss a few weeks of games, they ran out of time for him to settle in. And the Chiefs, if you remember last year, from the divisional round forward, it was all one score wins. And so, you know, you have this thought process that's been talked about here a little bit of like, well, maybe they can just see with DJ Humphreys. When you're winning by one score in the postseason, you can't waste a series. And so they went back to what I believe was their best looking offense those three games in 11 days. And that was with Joe Tooney at left tackle, Mike Caliendo at left guard, certainly a better pass blocking unit. There is some room left to be desired when it comes to run blocking, but I agree with the decision. The offense looked the best with him in the mix at left tackle. And now DJ Humphreys becomes more of a swing tackle, a replacement if you do get an injury, but I think it's the right call.
How do you think, Pete, how do you think those guys you just got through talking about, how do you think they match up with the two ends that the Texans have, obviously with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter?
Not well. You know, not well. I think that there is a mismatch when it comes to the Chiefs' tackles, regardless of who they put out there against the opposing defensive defensive ends, especially guys as talented as the Texans are bringing to the table. Late in the year, I mean, you saw Kansas City adjust to that. Patrick Mahomes was recording his lowest times to throw that he had in a really long time. They got him to under 2.5 seconds. And, you know, regardless of a mismatch potentially on the outside, if you're getting rid of the ball that quickly, you can tend to operate. And so I think the Chiefs saw that. They saw it as a weakness. Again, when I say it's the best offensive line the Chiefs have had, that means it's adequate and not bad. I don't think it's something that I would say is above average. I mean, you have a guy out of position, and Juwan Taylor has his woes with all the penalties that he takes. And so this is an advantage for the Texans. And so the Chiefs are going to have to continue to get the ball out quickly if they're going to have success.
Pete Sweeney, Arrowhead Pride, and has covered the Chiefs for 10-plus years, does a lot of work in Kansas City covering the Chiefs. Pete, just to kind of help with our audience, over this season and where the Chiefs are right now, offensively, who are the guys that you think the Texans really need to slow down, the guys that will be most likely to give the Texans trouble and make plays offensively?
Yeah, often in the playoffs, we see Travis Kelce go to another level. And so I still think he's going to be a factor in this playoffs. I thought it was good for Kansas City to see that Xavier Worthy really took the next step. I mean, he was sort of in the mix early on in the season, and then middle to the end, similar to what you saw with Rashee Rice last year, he ended up taking a further step, and more so from a route tree standpoint, being able to give different looks. And so he's become a factor. And it's hard to really gauge DeAndre Hopkins and Hollywood Brown, because these guys were having about under 50% of the snaps in the two games that Brown got to play. Remember, he came back from the injury. He was 40% or below. And so there's a little bit of mystery to that, and I think Andy Reid really likes to tap into that advantage. Like, I think the Texans can watch film. There's years and years of it on Travis Kelce, a whole season of it on Xavier Worthy, and get a gist of like what the Chiefs want to do with these particular players. There's an air of mystery to what Andy Reid is going to do with Hollywood Brown and DeAndre Hopkins. And so I just feel like if you're going to take advantage of a team in the playoffs, why not go to the guys where like there really isn't a ton of film to draw off of? I think Hopkins is motivated for this game. I think to an extent they were saving him for this run and are really going to take, so to speak, the training wheels off in terms of him. And then Hollywood Brown, we know, can be a factor. And so I know I listed a lot of weapons, but I think I'm most curious about how we see Reed utilize those last two, Hopkins and Brown.
Can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, we watching all the different talk shows and even listening to some of the radio and talking to Ron here, who knows this team as well as anybody. It's not the same old Chiefs in a sense of they're a little bit more defense heavy. Pat hasn't been as good this year as he's been in the past, not nearly as explosive as they have been. What has been the reason behind the change for Pat? Is it just a scheme change and strength in the team change, or have you seen something that maybe the Texans can exploit here?
Well, I think early on in the year, the Chiefs were just rotating linemen, and it was impossible for him to settle in. Early on in the year, there was a game where Wanya Morris essentially allowed a free rusher, and you could see the frustration on Pat. And Pat is usually pretty good about not showing his teammates up on the field, but you could sense that frustration. And that's why I keep bringing up those three games in 11 days and just the fact that they decided to put Tooney out there. That's when he was most comfortable. Again, they were getting rid of the ball quickly, but in that stretch, I just feel like with a high ankle sprain, he was looking the best. And so I think some of those woes, and like when you look at the season statistics, it was more drawing from those growing pains that were happening early on in the year as you were getting used to the new protection. I mean, they started a rookie, Kingsley Suamataia, at left tackle early on in the year, and then straight up at some point just determined this is going to be a redshirt year. I mean, that's how bad it was in terms of the protection. And so I think it looked better later in the season, and we just don't have a ton of games where I think they were finally hitting their stride. I think the biggest thing that gives me confidence in the Chiefs offense is really from a film standpoint, and I mentioned it earlier, but I'll just kind of reiterate, like, I just don't think we've really seen the Chiefs offense that they're going to show in the playoffs because of those snap count things that I was talking about, because there are only a few games with this offensive line combination, because Patrick Mahomes was able to rest that high ankle and now presumably is going to look good. Travis Kelce last year after resting in week 18 had a fantastic postseason where he had a minimum of 71 yards per game. And so I think there is a window. I think there is a chance to see the Chiefs really take the top off, so to speak, in this postseason. But we just don't have the film to really draw that because I don't think they've been ready to showcase that due to injury, roster shuffling, and otherwise.
All right, Pete, let me get you out on this. I know you talked to Spags this week. What do you get the sense that the Chiefs are concerned, nervous about with the Texans' offense?
Well, I think it's Nico Collins. You saw what stood out to me in that first game for the Texans, which I thought was a really nice outing by them and shocked a lot of people. I mean, I think everybody was picking the Chargers in that game. I think Collins, it became Collins and everybody else. I mean, if you just look at the stat sheet, it was, what, a buck 20-something for Collins, and then the next guy was like 30-something, and it kind of went down from there. And it's tough because I think – I'm confident about this. A, in the game in week 16, and then B, in the playoffs, obviously Tank Dell makes this whole game different. And he would have made that regular season game different. That game was in the balance until Tank Dell goes down. I think that the Texans are really going to need an option past Nico Collins because Collins will get his, in my opinion, for sure. He's very, very talented, one of the better receivers in the NFL. But the Chiefs can curb him with a two-time All-Pro and Trent McDuffie. It's like, how else are they going to be able to attack the Chiefs? The Chiefs are well aware of Collins. Steve Spagnuolo, this was one of my questions to him. He essentially said, we got to know exactly where he is on the field at all times and not allow him to wreck the game. And I think that's the right attitude because I think, similar to what you'll do to some other teams, if you're going to let the Texans upset you on your field, they got to deal with somebody other than Nico Collins. So who is that person going to be for Houston?
All right, Pete, good to talk to you. And Mr. Nasty, I'll see you again soon. And old Sweet and Show can get it going again at a later date.
We'll warm up the fireball, Clint. You do your best managing the Nick Wright of Houston if you can. I'm concerned about this.
That's ironic.
Get out of here. All right, that's Pete Sweeney as he gave us a little insight on what's going on with the Chiefs this week.